To understand how Pakekura Park came about, we must look back to January of 1875 and the sitting of the Provincial Council. Robert Clinton Hughes, a young lawyer had just been voted onto the Provincial Council, was asked by his friend, Peter Elliott, to table a question relating to the availability of land for recreational use. In reply, Thomas Kelly, the provincial secretary, said there was an area referred to as the Botanic Gardens. This area had been identified by Fred Carrington on his original survey of the town. The site is next to the Tehan Nui stream, adjacent to Pukaturata Par. Things went quiet for a few months, however, some residents were making noises. James Davis, later the funder of the Poets' Bridge, in his speech on the opening day of the bridge, was reported to have said that when he arrived in New Plymouth, he saw that the great want of the town was a public pleasure gardens, and he at once commenced to agitate the question. Also, sometime during May or June of 1875, a petition signed by 112 prominent residents, calling for a recreation area, had been presented to the Provincial Council. In the petition, the signatories vowed to look after any land given. It may well have been James Davis who initiated the petition. Kelly had been extremely busy. He was a key player in setting up the inaugural Harbour Board and securing funding for its development. There had been a lot of talk about abolishing the system of provincial government, and the sitting of the Provincial Council in June of 1875 was possibly going to be the last chance to pass legislation. He did have another project that he was working on, which was to find a suitable location for an asylum. He had settled on the site known as Fort Herbert, which lies on the hill behind the current east stand at the sports ground. At that time, the Pakekura Valley was devoid of trees and he would have had a good view across it. He was aware that the valley had little commercial value and considered that it may lend itself to a recreation area. At the time, most of the land belonged to the Education Board. Kelly wrote to Fred Carrington, who was the superintendent at the time, laying out his vision. Following is an extract of the letter that Kelly sent to Carrington.
Sir, in looking for a suitable piece of public land within a convenient distance from the town for the site and grounds of a lunatic asylum, the fact forced itself on my notice that in the immediate vicinity of the site I have selected, and which I submit for your approval, viz., Mount Herbert, that the interest of the whole community would be well consulted by making the balance of the reserve in the vicinity, by ordinance of the Provincial Council, an endowment for public recreation grounds. The stream of water which flows through the reserve might be impounded and utilized for the ornamentation of the grounds, for watering the streets of New Plymouth, extinguishing fires, and providing for public baths. The land to which I refer lies between Carrington Road and the racecourse, and consists of exchanged town sections set apart for educational purposes. The area of this land, including roads which could be closed by ordinance, is about 35 acres. It has not been a source of much revenue to the educational establishment, having only averaged some £15 per year, and is gradually deteriorating in value by the growth of firs, which successive tenants have failed to eradicate, or even keep down. The reason of this is that the land is of inferior quality and very broken, rendering it unsuitable for cultivation. But it is admirably adapted by nature for forming recreation grounds, as the scenery is diversified, and winding paths could be made at small costs, and several small sheets of water made by dams of an inexpensive character. Although I propose to divert the purpose of this reserve from education to other public purposes, I do not think it would be desirable to take it without giving to the educational establishment either money compensation to compensate for the rent lost, £15, or to give, by way of exchange, other provincial lands of equal value. But I think the opportunity should not be lost for securing to the public of New Plymouth for all time these grounds which are capable of being made very beautiful for recreation purposes and the other public services which I have named. The land is situated less than half a mile from the centre of the town, and if suitable paths and footbridges were made it would be at once used by a large section of the public on holidays, and by the various public organisations on special occasions, such as Templars' Fetes, Band of Hope, a and the various denominational schools for the children's annual parties. Provisions could be easily made for making it accessible from various parts of the town, such as from the Carrington Road, from Liardet, Gover and Wakefield streets. While these grounds might be made use of at a small cost to provide rational amusement to the public, the water, while affording a means of beautifying the grounds, could be utilized at a comparative small cost to furnish a supply for watering the streets, extinguishing fires, and providing for public baths, or even for supplying water for domestic purposes for the present population, but I propose to confine myself to the first-named purposes more within the menus of the provincial revenue. The stream which flows through the reserve takes the drainage of about 300 acres of land roughly estimated, and therefore the annual rainfall, less that lost by evaporation and other causes, could be impounded and made available for the purposes I have named.
Once Kelly got the green light, he went about writing the Botanical Garden and Public Recreation Grounds Bill of 1875. This vested approximately 39 acres of land for recreational purposes and was to be run by the town board. He ran this by the town board, but unfortunately, they did not want the ratepayers to have to carry the financial burden of developing and maintaining such a recreation ground. This all happened the day before the provincial council was due to be prorogued. Kelly, disappointed with the town council, was ready to drop the bill. Hughes, on the other hand, was keen to salvage it and suggested that the reserve could be run by a board of trustees. Kelly agreed to this, if by the next morning, Hughes could find 7 people to act as trustees. Hughes did this, the bill was amended and went through all its stages and was passed during the last sitting of the provincial council on June 30, 1875. Even though the bill passed through the provincial council, it still had to be approved by the governor. The bill did not get the governor's approval, and it was not until September 1876 that the Taranaki Botanic Garden Act 1876 passed through Parliament. A list of board members was published in the Taranaki Herald on July 31, 1875. The names being Thomas King, Harris Ford, Robert Clinton Hughes, Isaac Broad, John Gilmore, James Thomas Davis, and Robert Joseph Collins. The first board meeting was held on Friday, September 30, 1875, at which it was agreed to meet the following Tuesday as a group, to survey the land they had been granted, which was now estimated to be 47 acres. It was also agreed that the first work to be undertaken would be to erect a boundary fence. The board met as planned, along with Arthur Standish, to survey the task ahead. The next morning, Hughes and Davis started to peg out the first path, Hughes Walk. There was a stream running through the park, and the idea was to run a path along the west side of the stream and have a second path at right angles up to the racecourse. Even though Hughes and Davis were eager to see progress, work on the paths did not start until 1876. To establish a good layout for the recreation ground, the board ran a competition, offering a £5 prize for the best plan. Reginald Bailey was the winner. Laying out paths, etc., is a job for a surveyor, and the board was fortunate that Thomas Kingwell Skinner offered his services, gratis. He spent many hours with his chain man over a period of 30 years, laying out different aspects of the recreation grounds. The first actual development in the recreation ground was the planting of a vineyard by Heinrich Braedecker. He was granted the lease of an acre of land behind the racecourse in what is now Stainton Dell. The vineyard was not successful and was abandoned a few years later. Braedecker moved to Hokianga, where he did establish a successful vineyard.